Harry is an admiral and has such an incredible past, navigating the high seas on his own sailboat with his all-girl crew. And you there, Harry?
Yeah, that was a little fun slip. Time. It sure was.
All right. This is our intro music to celebrate those days, yeah. Just a little bit.
Yep, a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. They were 24, 24, and 25 years old.
All right. You know what this is?
Music.
Oh, yeah. All right, see if you can figure it out now.
I saw the heart.
Oh, boy, yeah. Joe Stafford.
No.
Joe, who is it?
The same old harbor lights that once brought you to me.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
I give up.
I watched the harbor lights.
Tony Williams.
The Platters.
That's, yeah. Tony, that's Tony Williams.
He was the lead singer with the Platters.
That's right.
Goodbye.
Incredible
to tender
voice.
Nights beside the silvery sea. I love to.
All right, we got to get back to business
right
here. But thought you'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
Little nautical theme.
Number 30 here. Oh, it was nice, yeah. And that guy had an incredible voice.
He was so underrated, it's not even funny. He was a giant. Okay, now, do you want to go to the next group, or do we want to finish up with these?
We can finish up with these quickly.
Okay.
30, that's still part of the ceremony at Ulrichsberg. Well, we can wrap it up. Well, let me switch up to 32. This is a very interesting thing. You see the Steinkreuz, or Kreuzstein. The cross in the stone. This is in a very small, very protected valley. This was a valley for the SS, for R&R. They had hospitals there. They had all sorts of nice things there. Then we go to Salzburg. You can see the Salzburg Castle there. Also the caverns. We go into number 38.
Mm-hmm.
36, 37, and then a museum, 31, is it? Yeah, 41, I'm sorry.
41.
Red Bull, yeah, Red Bull has their collection of World War II American fighters and bombers.
Is that chromed or stainless steel? I always ask you this.
Right. It says on the on the little card that's in front of it, it says that it's chrome, but one of our members just really gets adamant. Says, no, they could never fly. It would be too heavy if it was chrome-plated.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is.
Maybe they don't fly this one. They still do?
No, they fly it. No, mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. This one, and they've got the only operational P-38 Lightning in mm-hmm. Europe, and it mm-hmm. flies, and it's shiny like this, so mm-hmm. I don't know what mm-hmm. it is. Then 42... and 43 are up on Eagle's Nest. We go there, of course.
Oh, this and see that right there. Excuse me.
Yeah.
The Eagle's Nest trip to go up there at Berchtesgaden makes the trip in and of itself a priceless journey.
It's incredible. And what you see there in 43, those are the foundations that are still there for the anti-aircraft guns. But you have to know where to go to look for them.
Shark hunters nowhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we sure do. 44, we're on the Königssee, which means the King's Lake. Beautiful sightseeing trip. So, that we still have about 15 spots open on this tour. It starts, all the information's on sharkhunters.com. Go to tours.
Right.
It starts the last Saturday in September and goes for 2 weeks till the 2 week Saturday. And then on the Saturday that the Southern Patrol ends, that's when we start the Bunker Patrol in Berchtesgaden. led by Jeff Carson. That's 1 week. And Jeff knows where everything is, the tunnels, the bunkers, the foundations for guns, the old buildings. I mean, he's a walking history book. And we only have two spots left open on that tour. So go to sharkhunters.com, go to tours, and you'll be amazed. Jeff is just incredible at what he knows. So now we can switch gears and go to the next.
All right, photos,
array, if you
photos
wish.
Two, Argentina and a very famous residence. And these, again, all you have to do is click on the photo and it will magically enlarge for you.
Right.
And,
I'll let you lead me to how much we should talk about here.
All right. Go ahead.
Look at the first one, though. And that says, be an angel. And that explains what we need and why we need it, and that it is tax deductible, and it tells you all about how to contact us. It's a 501c3 tax exempt organization. Your donations are deductible in the U.S. I don't know how other countries' laws pertain to nonprofits in the U.S. That's something you have to look at, but we need about another $2,500.
You know, how many members do you have? Never mind. That's irrelevant. If every member of Shark Hunters would send in $10, you're over the top. You got it.
That's true.
So all of you members listening, and there are thousands of you out there who would probably qualify, if not members, certainly fans, send in $10, and that'll take care of everything.
And it's tax deductible.
Absolutely.
It's tax deductible.
So please.
Why are we talking about this? Can we tell them why we're talking about this?
Sure, but not in great detail.
Not in great detail. That's what we need the money for. That's where I'm going.
All right. Look, picture number two. Okay, let's just go to picture number two. Now, that residence is on a magnificent lake in San Carlos de Bariloche. In that house lived for 10 years Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun, among others.
Yep.
There are servants' quarters and guest quarters and support dwellings in the back. This was heavily guarded, believe it, 24/7. This is where Hitler and Eva Braun lived for 10 years before tourism became such a big thing there. They had to move north to Cordoba. And that's where we think he lived his last years. But this home was built by the...
It was not only tourism. It was also the fact that Juan Perón was overthrown in 1955.
He had lost control.
Right, so they lost their protection,
Right.
So they were living there from 45 until 55. This estate wasn't even built until the end of 44, when everybody knew that Germany was going to lose the war.
Built by the Mercedes family.
Exactly, by the Mercedes of Argentina. It was supposed to be a resort for their executives, someplace to take their secretaries for a weekend or whatever. But nobody ever lived in it until Hitler and Eva Braun moved in.
And no one has lived in it since.
That's correct. It's empty ever since. So it's for sale if you got a huge wallet. Somebody tried to buy it about 2 years ago, and for whatever reason, the Argentine government blocked the sale. I don't know why, but it's still owned by whoever owns it. We know who the caretaker is, but we don't know who the owner is.
All right. Number three, same house. Beautiful Bavarian architecture. This house was built to last and last and last and last.
Oh, it's solid.
And what?
Number four, five, and...
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No.
Well, number four, five, and six are other views of the house. Four, five, and six are taken from the backside, looking out towards the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they have a sign there that says, Harry's welcome. It says, no pasar, which is probably the same as Ein Gang Verboten. Now, the only way there, back during the days of Hitler, and even up until the last few years, the only way there was up this finger of the lake, you see, by boat or by seaplane, because there were no roads by this, but they built a road there in the last many years. But prior to this, you had to come by boat or by seaplane. And if you came from one direction, the people in the so-called Saracen Tower would spot you and would radio to the house. Or if you came from the other way, there was a recon bunker there, and people would radio to the house
right.
that a boat was coming. Let's see, number seven is around the back. That's, I can't remember his name. He was our boat, not the boat captain that you and I know. This was just a nice guy with an inflatable who buzzed me and a friend there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to pay him, when we were all done, he wouldn't take any money because while I was exploring, he was out there fishing and he caught a couple of great big fish for dinner. So he was happy. Nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And then that was
number seven. Who is that in the picture?
Yeah, that's the boat guy. Not
okay.
the boat captain you and I are talking about,
right.
but just Ramon. That was his name, Ramon.
The inflatable captain. All right.
Yeah. Number eight, see where it says, Harry is welcome. Prohibit
Look at that view.
Entrada.
Look at that beautiful view. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, when you got money, you can put your house any place you like.
Oh, and the Mercedes
number,
people did.
Oh, they had tons of money. They still do. Number 9 and 10, that's the power generating building, which was right near the house. They had a little stream, man-made stream that they had cut from a major stream down to the lake,
mm-hmm.
and it ran underneath this house, and it had paddle wheel down there to turn the generator, which you see in number 9.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think that generator has seen better days. I'd say it's finished.
Clearly, this house should be meticulously restored, turned into a
yeah.
tourist, a controlled, tasteful tourist destination. There was some talk about building a large hotel there and maybe raising the house, which is insanity.
Yes.
So,
and that's when the Argentine government blocked the sale. I don't know if one had to do with the other or what mm-hmm. the reason was, but... I understand they had been asking 45 million Yankee dollars, which is a huge amount of money, but it's a huge piece of property. We're not seeing all of it here. There are many guest houses. Guest cottages.
Might be 20,
so,
20, 30 acres, 40 acres. Who knows? I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's a huge complex. So it finally sold for $23 million to a wealthy soybean farmer from Cordova. But that's when the government stepped in and blocked the sale for whatever reason.
Mm.
I don't know.
Mm.
Then here in number 13.
Wait, go back to number 11. What is that? I missed
number
it.
Number 11. Let's go back to 11. Here's
is that
11.
The,
okay.
Is that the generating house? Or what?
That's correct, yeah. Either that or it's where Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs lived.
Well.
No, yes. That is... the generating house, and the lines ran underground
mm-hmm.
to the main house and to the guest cottages. And let's see, 12, what's 12? Oh, 12, yeah, that's the furnace. Actually, the little house you asked about was the heating house. This is what heated the house. They'd have their little furnace out there, and it produced steam heat. Everything was steam heat back in them days.
Mm-hmm.
And the steam pipes would go underground into the main house, and they had the old-fashioned radiators. Of course,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't old-fashioned back when it was built in 45.
All right.
State-of-the-art.
Yeah. Number 13.
13. Yours truly with the lock pick. And I let myself in. Best of my knowledge, I'm the only guy with interior shots. Lots of people, like Johnny Come Lately, people like this Hunting Hitler farce, they had a lot of exterior photos, but
right.
I let myself in, and there on 14 is me going up the stairs to the upstairs bedrooms, and 15 and 16 are upstairs bedrooms. They're very Spartan, very Spartan, you see.
Mm-hmm. Look like single beds in there.
That's correct. That was pretty much the
actually, 16 would have I'd say that's a single bed and a king or a full size bed. It's a very thick mattress. Hard to know what year.
Yeah, these obviously were not the mattresses from back in those days. But no, the beds look like they've been around for a while.
The bed frames look quite period correct.
Right. So, who slept in those beds? Then, number 17 is just one of the bathrooms. Probably been updated. I don't know, though.
Looks like there was a tub over there against the wall with a shower.
Yeah, it could be, or it could be just a shower, but the lower pipe might be just for a foot washer, because it doesn't look like a tub would have fit in there. But I don't know. I'll have to look at it again. And let's see.
That's a more modern. That's a modern sink, Harry.
It is. Number 18, Jeff Rentz's favorite picture.
All right, I've got room for it. I'm telling you,
it would take a few guys to pick that sucker up. I'll bet you that thing weighs every bit of 1,000 pounds.
Sure it does. Yeah.
Huge, huge, big, solid wood, and that ain't balsa wood. That's for sure. It's not oak either, but it's some indigenous kind of thing. So your next question is who sat to eat?
Who sat there for how many? 10 years. Dinners there, yep. Breakfast, lunches, entertaining people, very important people who would come there if the walls could talk.
Oh, absolutely. Jeez. Wouldn't that have been great? The next picture, 19. It's in the same living area.
Looks like the
windows are newer.
It's hard to, it's hard to know if the furniture, it could be. That could be period furniture from the 50s. It looks it to me. The side-by-side big overstuffed chairs, the sofa, that's a 50s style sofa.
Yeah.
I would suggest it's even money that those are originals.
Could be. In the 50s, what was it? It was the Danish modern style that they were using.
It appears the window
had stuff like that.
The window on the right, the casement would suggest it's double glazed glass, so they probably were replaced. But
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
cut down on the heating bill.
Yeah.
Let's see, where did we leave off there? That was now we go to 20 again, looking out over the lake. Must have been rough having all that money.
Those are those two same overstuffed chairs. You see the big, huge fireplace on the right, and then the two chairs and the sofa across the long way from the fireplace. Yeah.
Beautiful place. Beautiful place. And then
nobody's gotten in but Harry. Remember this now, all right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, let me say one thing. For those of you who want to help with this very special research trip that Harry is going to make June 1st, 2nd, or 3rd, heading down in that direction, and the project that is going to come of it, it's safe to say that there's a pretty good chance that what you're seeing here is going to be part of that, if you get my drift, and I'm sure you do. All right, this is part of an enormously important project, and I just can't overstate that. So if you want to help, please do.
If the walls could talk, well, we found a way to make the walls talk.
There you go.
Now, here we are in photo 21. Now, you jump in if you need to expand on anything, Jeff.
Yeah.
Photo 21, this is in one of the guest cottages. And 22 is also in the guest cottage. Who slept in that room? Who hung their clothes in that chiffer robe or wardrobe or whatever the hell those things are on the wall?
I'm not sure this is a guest cottage, Harry. I think this may be the big house. I think that bathroom, the bathroom in 21 looks like the same sink.
Okay, could have been. Well, maybe they had the same kind of bathrooms. We'll know soon.
Yeah. Now there's your
23.
Yeah, there's the big fireplace, or one of them. I don't see the overstuffed chairs there. I don't see a. That's a different fireplace, and I'll tell you why. There's
it
no
is.
Hearth. There's no hearth. No tile hearth in front of it.
Right. It is a very. It's a different place, different room. Look down to the left of the fireplace. There's a big white spot. That's a recess in the wall where the radiator had been.
Ah.
I don't know what happened to the radiator. Maybe somebody needed it for another house. Who knows?
I've got room for that, too.
I guess you would. But I think it's going to stay there, probably. 24. It's not the same bathroom, not the same area.
No.
And that's a fairly new bidet there, I think. Although the tile, that looks pretty ancient.
Kind of a garish, gaudy color for the 1945, 1950 era. But
I guess,
so.
I don't know.
All right,
I
here we
know.
Go. 25 is, again, where the radiator was.
That's correct. I don't know why I took an enlarged version of it. And then we're pretty much at the end of this because that's all we did there. The rest of this is from my... Paraguay. But let's take, I'm not going there this time, but let's take a look at number 26. You know who that is.
All right, now let me tell our listeners, this picture you're looking at, I think you recognize the gentleman in the middle. His name was Mr. Hitler. And if you know anything about his friends and long-term friends, the Eichhorns, he is talking directly toward us, slightly to our left, to Mr. Eichhorn and...
Walter Eichhorn.
And his... Is that his wife on the right?
Yep, that's his wife, Ida Eichhorn.
Right. Now, you say, all right, so what? Well, let me do this. What if I told you that picture was taken at the Eichhorn's hotel in Argentina? You would say, well, all right... So Hitler traveled there. Well, when did Hitler travel there? Since there are no historical records of Adolf Hitler ever traveling to Argentina to a hotel owned by his friends the Eichhorns. Ever. And then let me ask you, if I were to tell you that photograph was taken in 1947, what would you think then?
You'd think he looks pretty good for a guy who's been dead for 2 years.
We'll be right back.
If you believe.
Yeah. What, Harry? Go ahead.
If you believe in that suicide story, he looks good for a guy who's been dead for 2 years.
Yeah, and having been burned up in a trench dug in the back of the underground bunker. Yeah, he does. He came back very well, didn't he?
Must.
Here we go. Admiral, here's another one. Here's another one for you. Continuing
okay.
in the nautical vein. Let's see if you can get this one. All right?
Okay.
Red sails in the sunset, way out on the sea.
Red sails in the sunset, Patti Page, 1954.
Not Patti Page.
Oh.
That is Tony Williams.
Oh, okay. You must have a collection here. He apparently covered a lot of some of the old favorite songs.
Thank goodness.
Well, yeah.
In the sunset, I'm trusting in you.
The original
All
was
right.
1954, Patti Page. I remember when I was invading my grandparents' record collection, they were these huge, big old wax over glass 78 RPMs.
Wow.
That you didn't dare drop.
No. All right, so we have a few more pictures in pictures two. that we can look at if you like. And
yeah, but these have nothing to do with the place I'm going now. This is all Paraguay. Number 27, that's a map that will make a lot of your listeners think that I need to be in a funny farm. This was drawn by Holdeen Goebbels.
Now, he just said what you heard, and you've all seen the pictures of the Goebbels family dead, laid out, and the American military looking upon their corpses and all that. How could Holdeen Goebbels have drawn a map living in Paraguay if she died?
Not easy, except she didn't die in the bunker. You look at those pictures, and they're very malnourished, like maybe they were kids who died in the camps.
They were donor corpses.
Yeah, basically that's it. And Holdeen was, we're pretty sure, was fathered by Hitler. Magda Goebbels was madly in love with Hitler, and Joseph Goebbels even put it in his diary that it just broke his heart because his wife was messing around with Hitler. But, you know, in that situation, looking at the hierarchy and the pecking order, what could he do? Nothing. So anyhow, she made it down there, and she did this drawing when Hannah Reich came down there. I forget the year. And it's well documented. Hannah Reich made a tour of North and South America. And so Hannah Reich took her up, and she made this sketch. And I was there with our two doctor friends a year ago. And we went to this farm. And by God, everything is exactly like she had sketched it way back then. And
now they took her in toward the end of her life and took care of her.
Yeah, the doctors did, right. She was living in squalor. And when the one doctor, the lady doctor, is an OB-GYN, and she had a free clinic, and that's how she met Holdeen Goebbels. And when they found out who she was, the guy doctor, you know, these two doctors are in love, Dr. Franco, he had a really nice penthouse with a lot of rooms, and he gave her own room and cleaned her up and everything and got her story. And as you know, she had this incredible thick scrapbook she kept. And this was one of the pictures in the scrapbook. This is actually a copy of the original picture. But this thing is about 6 or 8 inches thick. And I held this thing, and boy, it weighs a ton. So you look at photo 28, and we went out to the area where she showed, and she said, a large box was buried. And Pascal there, he's our contact in Paraguay. David is the grandson of the guy who owns the farm. And I'm coming back there in probably August. And we're going to see if we can't find the box. Now, no, nothing so romantic as Nazi gold, and it won't be filled with SS rings. We figure it'll be sort of like a little history capsule.
Time capsule.
Time capsule. There you go. So we'll be coming back in August or November, even though that's the dead of winter down there. Paraguay is far enough north. It's not going to be getting really harsh weather. But I don't know if Paraguay would know.
Anyway, November down there would be summer.
Yeah, sure.
You said winter.
That's why I love going down there in January. I get sunburned.
Right, right. Now, what's to keep someone from getting out there right now and starting to dig before you can get there? Do they know where this place is?
No. And we've got the map.
Good. All right.
So even if you knew where the farm was, Where do you dig on the farm?
Right.
It looks like it's about 1,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Take a lot of digging to turn it all over. And we don't know if this thing is down 2 feet or 20 feet.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Would this have been Holdeen's, you know, Holdeen's stash?
Her mother,
think?
Magda. Magda got down there, too.
Magda Goebbels would have had a... God only knows what she took with her. That could be her...
Right.
Her leavings, whatever she had.
Well, she kept talking about she wanted to go back and get her diamonds. And then she went back to Europe and got her diamonds, I guess.
When did she die, Magda Goebbels? Do we know?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I'd have to look back into the book.
I mean,
Dr. Franco wrote a book about it, which is an excellent book, but it's 1,400 pages long. I told her, you cannot publish a book 1,400 pages long. It's bigger than a Manhattan phone book.
You can get this book, by the way. It's translated. It's Kindle only.
Yeah. Right, it's on Kindle. That's correct. I forget what the name is in English.
It's a silly name. Remember that.
Yeah. Anyhow, your listeners can just send me an email, sharkhunters@earthlink.net. And just ask me, and I can just tell them how to get the book. And also, if your listeners want, they can get a free copy of our magazine. Send me an email, sharkhunters@earthlink.net, and say they listened to us tonight. I'll send them the current issue of the magazine, no charge, no strings attached.
I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't. I mean, the magazine is always splendid. It's a walk-through history. Oh, you're welcome. I just don't know how you do it all. I work awfully hard, and I appreciate and respect what you do. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. That's why I had to drop some of my other things. I was the founder of a Corvette sports car club, and I was putting in 20 hours a week at that. I was flotilla commander with the Coast Guard Auxiliary 20 hours a week. That's 40 hours a week.
Yeah,
so I had to
there.
Drop all that stuff a few years ago. And now, as you know, you're just about ready to go to bed about the time I'm getting up. It's 3 in the morning when I get up.
Sometimes,
as you know, because you and I correspond.
Yeah. Huh.
And then I go to about 6 or 7 in the afternoon, evening, and that's about it. But that's about a 14-hour day. But what else am I going to be doing?
What else? Right. Sit on your ass and watch television? Come on.
Right. No. You sit there and get fat and then die.
That's it.
Play golf? That's a sentence worse than life in prison.
What a ridiculous...
Sorry to all you golfers.
It's such a hard game. It looks easy. It looks like fun, but it isn't. Have you been out on the Corvette lately? Harry's got a great Corvette.
Yeah, I've had it. Coming on 18 years now. I had it. I got it 18 years ago.
What is it, an 83? I'm guessing.
No, there were no 83s made. That's the only year. They never made a Corvette.
That's why I guessed. I see.
Yeah. It's an 81, torch red. But right now it's in the shop. Not a big deal. It's got a quadrajet carburetor, and, you know, I used to drive Grand National stock cars, and if it don't say Holley, it ain't a real carburetor. So, anyhow.
You're putting
I'll be driving
Holley on it
again. No, I'm going to put a whole fresh engine in it if I ever get around to it.
A crate? A new 350 crate?
Well, that would be nice, except that's about $4,000. I got to buy a block. Then when I get money, I got to buy, 12.5-to-1 pistons. And when I get money, I got to buy a cam.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take me about 2 years to put it together. Because remember, nobody gets a salary from Shark Hunters. Not me, not nobody. So this is on my retirement and my Social Security.
Yeah. They even cut me off. I don't get anything anymore.
Oh, wow.
That was
not
a
even
joke.
Social Security?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, you're not old enough for Social Security.
I'm kidding. I was pretending like you were paying me, and you cut me off.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I don't pay nobody nothing.
We want
a
picture.
Except I do.
Hmm? You do what?
I do pay Tiffany for the book covers. That's the only person who gets paid anything in Shark Hunters.
Right. We need pictures. I want a picture of the Corvette. I don't think you've ever sent me one.
Oh, I'll send you one. Probably not after the show, because I'm going to take a quick rinse-off shower, and I'm going to go look at the inside of my eyelids.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. When I first got it, it looked like crap, and my buddy Big George took it into his shop, took it down to bare fiberglass. We put on six coats of gel coat, six coats of primer, six coats of torch red,
wow,
and 1.5 gallons of clear. Diamond clear.
And
unfortunately, Big George left us about 3 weeks ago. He died, had a heart attack.
What was your first Corvette? Was that it? Or did you have one
that
before?
That was it. It's the only Corvette I ever owned.
Yeah, fun.
And I had a few spare bucks back in them days, and as it turned out, I had been moving money from bank to bank, and due to a technicality, the check for the Corvette never got cashed.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I got it for free, more or less.
That doesn't happen very often.
No, the guy was going out of business, and it's a long story.
All right. Well, good. So it went to the right guy.
I got it because, I had come home from a flotilla meeting, and my voicemail was blinking. I pushed the button, and it says, "Hey, Mr. Cooper, this is your doctor. Good news. Your test came back. You don't have cancer after all." So next day, I took my checkbook, told Kay I was going to get a haircut, and I came back with the Corvette.
Your checking account got a haircut, but you got a Corvette. That's funny.
Yeah, and then, like I say, the checking account never did get debited.
Interesting.
So,
you don't hear those kind of stories very often. That's good.
No. Yeah, I was very lucky. So, anyhow, this is Paraguay, and I'll be going back there in August. I was supposed to go down there in February, and the doctors rescheduled to March. Then they rescheduled to April, then to May. Then I had to reschedule this trip till June and told them I was coming in June. No, he's in Barcelona for more schooling. So, okay, August or September. The rest of the pictures are just Paraguay, the big wall that's the entrance, and then number 29 Charlie. That's the old resort where Mengele used to hide out. And then 30, that's back in Argentina. That's the home where Gestapo Mueller lived until he died in, 2001. I was brought there by Lawrence DeMello. She's quite the expert on Borman, probably the world's number one expert on Borman, and an expert on a lot of the guys who fled down there, because she has a ranch down there. And like I say, I'll be visiting with her for a few days after.
Very good.
I'm done chasing around on my project.
Very good.
She's a nice lady. She's a hell of a researcher. Just a gracious lady. I get a lot of rest down there. She gives me the whole pool house, which got a huge big living room, big screen TV, giant screen TV. And upstairs in the loft, that's my loft bedroom, and a great bathroom with both a shower and a bath downstairs.
Well, it's a perfect place to recoup and
to unwind,
recover.
Yeah. And then she and I get together out in the patio with our laptops, and we go over what we've discovered.
Very good. Well, she's probably got a lot of new stuff since you were down there last time, too.
I would imagine.
These things keep popping up. I hope you get in touch with the people who were involved with this unusual stash of Third Reich memorabilia that was found down there. That's interesting.
One of my guys down there is trying to make a contact, but he's hard to get a hold of because he had so much notoriety. So when they found all this Nazi stuff, I hate to use that term, but all the Nazi stuff, and they were seizing it, confiscating it, even though it was legal for him to own it, and he got arrested, or he got hassled by the cops. I don't know whether he got arrested or not, but his biggest problem was that he had ancient Egyptian mummified cats and dogs. Now, that would be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they went after him for.
That's
I'm
what
told.
He got caught for. Interesting.
Right. Yeah. But why confiscate all his Third Reich stuff? It was not illegal, and they confiscated it. And I know you're going to get excited about this. They're turning it over to the Holocaust Museum in Buenos Aires.
Is that a done
deal? What
gives
them the right?
Is that a done deal?
I don't know. I can't get a hold of this guy. We went to his shop when I was down there last. He has two shops. Both of them were closed up and locked.
Yeah.
My associate went over to his house. Nobody was there. So it's been, what, 6 months, 8 months since that's happened. And so I want to talk to him again.
All right. Very good. Well, we got to get
that
done.
See what's going on.
All right, here's my final nautical theme. Wonderful song for Admiral Cooper and all of those who he cares for in this world. Here we go.
Ebb Tide by the Platters, 1956.
1959.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Listen to that voice.
Yeah, they had a fantastic voice. Back in those days, the recording artist never really saw much further potential except a handful of really mega stars like Elvis Presley.
Right.
Even Jerry Lee Lewis was at the top for a while until he was messing around with his 13-year-old cousin.
Didn't help. All right, listen to the end of this. Here we go. About 60 seconds.
Will your arms open wide at
okay. How was that for nautical themed songs?
Yeah, he sure had a great voice, but like I say, he probably didn't make a whole lot of money back in those days. Sam the Sham, remember Sam the Sham of the Pharaohs?
Yeah.
He wound up living on the street after his two big hits.
Well,
of them were one hit wonders, never got anything for it.
Not these guys. Tony had many, many, many. And he left in left in 1960. He got talked into going solo, and they promised him the moon, and they produced three solo albums with him. Absolutely gross mismanagement, the worst songs, terrible arrangements, and he didn't go anywhere. He should have been a household word. And
the managers all pocketed the money, I'm sure.
That's exactly what happened. Exactly. Yeah. So, anyhow, all right. Again, Harry is going on an extremely important research trip, June 1st, 2nd, 3rd. If you can get involved with helping, believe me, you are going to be proud of the results. This is going to be special.
Yeah, for sure. That is tax deductible.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Admiral. You take care. Talk soon.
My pleasure. You guys have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Good night. Okay. That's our program on this Friday, and we will be back with you Sunday in our Best of Encore and Monday live. And in the meantime, you know where you can find us at rents.com. Thanks. Take care. Glad you were along tonight. Talk soon.